Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning as it may be, and welcome to Enlightened Networking's weekly 30 Minutes of Wisdom conference call. This is Gregory Mascari, and I certainly want to thank every one of you for joining us either live on the call here this morning or on the replay. Robin and I started these weekly calls really as our way of paying it forward, or for all of the wonderful people and gifts that we've received over the years. And each week we invite and host some of the most inspired speakers, authors, and really enlightened, forward-thinking people, you know, of our time to join us and really well to share 30 minutes of wisdom. And so buckle your seatbelts, get out your notepads, because we've got a very, very special speaker here with us here this morning. And what I'd like to do is turn this call over to my partner in life and my beloved wife, Robin Blank Mascari, who's going to be hosting the call. So good morning, Robin, and over to you.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and thank you for all you do that makes things work so well here on the call. And good morning to everyone, and thanks for being with us. This morning, we get to hear about celebrating what's right with the world. Our speaker has seen more of the world than most of us as a National Geographic photographer for several decades and one of America's top professional photographers. He's also one of our most sought-after speakers. He combines his stories of his life and his stories from his experience with the National Geographic with his magnificent images to teach creativity and vision. Years ago, oh boy, it was over 15 years ago, I was invited to hear him speak early on in his speaking career by a friend of mine. He happened to be in the town that I was living in, and I, after an hour, was so deeply moved and inspired that it has affected my life to this day. I've been an amateur photographer for 40 years, and I felt so validated and taken to a whole nother level that I have been a student of his ever since, and privileged to, I had it on my dream board to attend one of his week-long workshops in Molokai, and was able to fulfill that dream last year. So I've been reading his articles in his syndicated outdoor photography for many years. This man lives a dream life, part-time in Lake Tahoe, part-time in Molokai, traveling to wonderful places, but most importantly, living in alignment with what's important. So I am honored to introduce to you one of my mentors, inspirers, teachers, and brilliant photographers and gifts to this world, DeWitt Jones. Are you with us? Good morning.
I am. Good morning to you.
And it is early over there in Molokai, so thank you for being with us so early. We're talking about celebrating what's right with the world, so would you share a little bit about where that began for you, that term?
Yeah, it began in my shooting for National Geographic. I was kind of amazed, first of all, how many people took that magazine. At that time, it was over 10 million, and probably the most well-read magazine worldwide. And the most important thing that fascinated me was that people saved them. I mean, you know, you throw out the newspaper practically as soon as you get it in your hands. It's a toxic piece, and maybe you save Architectural Digest a little longer, but people saved, not only did they save the Geographics, they moved them from place to place. You know, they kept them, passed them on as heirlooms, and you weren't allowed to throw them away. And I got to thinking, what's behind that? And to me, it was because the Geographics celebrated what was right with the world. Even when they took on a controversial topic, you always ended reading the magazine feeling proud to be a human being and that you lived in a magnificent, wondrous world. And that has become rarer and rarer to find in this world of a place where you can do that. And so, you know, to me, I was lucky enough to shoot for them, and I would go out and I shot for the Geographic for 7 years before anybody asked me to prove it, which was astounding to me. They trusted me because they knew that when I photographed them for the Geographic, I would bring out their best. I would celebrate the best in them. That was my job. And it began to turn the way that I looked at the world. And it wasn't to deny the very real pain and suffering that's in this world. It was just to put it into the larger context of the fact that we have so much more to be grateful for, that we draw breath, that our eyes work, that we can smile and love, and that there was far more of that going on than there was in my book than pain and suffering. And the more I celebrated what was right with the world, the more I had the energy and the focus to help fix what's wrong with it. So it's been in my life, you know, since I was in my 20s, and it grew even after I stopped shooting for the Geographic. It grew into articulating my philosophy both in my columns for Outdoor Photographer, in my speeches around the country to all kinds of audiences, in my daily pictures that I put up on Facebook. It's what I do, and I enjoy sharing it with people, and I enjoy seeing people say, yeah, why not? And they look around and they say, I have so much to celebrate. So that's where it came from.
And you said something so important. It gave you energy. And talk about that in the world. So, you know, more than ever, it seems so important, especially in today's world, for us to have that kind of focus. Could you, you know, bring that forward from when you were early in your career of why this message is more important than ever today?
Well, I feel it more because I'm just getting older, right? And as you get older, you realize that you only have so much energy. Anything you can do to find more is fantastic. But in the lives that we have, which are go seemingly faster and faster, and more things call upon us, we need energy. And energy, you know, to me, one of the inexhaustible places we get energy is love and gratitude. And when we stop and feel gratitude for anything, for seeing the sky, for the person we live with, for our dog, for a good cup of coffee in the morning, I mean, really stop and let that flow over us. It gives us energy. It doesn't take it away. Those little moments where we stop and connect with what's in front of us, we gain energy. And that energy, we can use it in any way that we want to use it, but it's there. It's an inexhaustible place of energy. My mother used to say, you know, begin the day with a full cup. And she didn't mean just get another cup of coffee. She meant, you know, be in gratitude. When people say to me, do it, you're very generous. And I go, you know, I don't want to say yes. What I want to say is, look, I'm not generous. I'm overflowing. I'm just full. And everything comes out. I'm not reaching into my stash of tiny little bit of energy and saying, here, you can have it. I mean, I might do that for some people, but really what I want to be in a situation where I'm just full of energy, where I'm just overflowing. That's a really nice state to be in. Am I there all the time? Come on, I'm human. No. But I do my best to hold that metaphor and to try and see it every day.
I love that distinction. That really touched me, not generous but overflowing, because when we have so much, we have to give, you know, from that place. Because, oh, boy. Well, when we were speaking recently, it affected me because you've got a practice. When I was asking you what inspires you and what you're working on, would you be willing to share that with people? Because it got me onto a new routine here that is changing my life. So could you share a little bit about that?
What I do on Facebook?
What you're doing on Facebook and what you do every day, because everybody... I guess what I think is important when people think, well, let me put it from my perspective. When I think about a National Geographic photographer, well, I get into this comparison thing and, well, I can't be good enough and this and that. And what I've learned from you is that it's not about the technique and quality of the photo, but the experience and the practice that you're engaged in right now and how you're sharing that and how that could be an exercise for everyone.
Sure. I don't know how long, I guess it was a little over a year ago, I decided that, well, the first thing I did is I started every week to put out a poster that I emailed to people with one of my pictures and the line, "Celebrate what's right with the world." And I started doing that every week, and I started out with nobody, and now there are about 15,000 people that get that email every week, which astounds me. And it became a nice thing that people really enjoyed getting. There was no, you know, there was nothing commercial about it. I just did it. But what it did for me was even more astounding, to just stop, look at my pictures, go through my pictures, find one that I thought really touched me, remember the experience that I had at it, and then be able to share it with people. And we live in an age where you can do that for free, you know, by putting it on the net, which was pretty wonderful. And then I thought to myself, well, yeah, but the things I'm sharing, I took with what I call my big boy cameras, and people expect them to be good. You know, they go, well, of course, he's a National Geographic photographer. Certainly he's going to be good. And they are good. But I thought, what I'm not sharing with people is that the things that I just see every day in my life, and now I have this wonderful thing called an iPhone that I'm totally addicted to, not in lieu of my big boy cameras, but just to take images all the time. So I started posting a picture a day on Facebook, and just wherever I was, whatever I was taking, and I would go out kind of like, you know, in the spirit of not what I take today, but what will I be given today? Just how will I see the world? And to have the courage, and I could, because I'm supposedly a professional, right, of just taking that picture and sending it out in the world. Not to, this is another good distinction, not to make a difference, but to make a contribution. It was just my contribution for the day. And I would look around, and I would find something, and I would have an experience, a little moment of gratitude with a leaf or a cloud or a person or, you know, a line in a sidewalk or the light hitting a nail in my fence or something. And I would take a picture and I'd write a little bit about it, and I'd put it up on Facebook. And again, there are probably 7,500 people that follow me on Facebook now on my two pages. But that's not, and I think that's wonderful. But, what, you know, it's also, again, changing me. It's a discipline where every day I have a little discipline that allows me to fall in love with the world and to fill up and to overflow and to give it back, not so that people will tell me I'm cool, but just as my contribution. There's a wonderful line that I heard once on a card that my daughter gave me for Father's Day, and it said, "A bird sings not because it has an answer, but because it has a song." And that really touched me, and I thought, that's what we all ought to be doing. We just sing our song. We just make our contribution. So this is mine. So I'm putting it out every day. In fact, before you called, I was sitting there trying to figure out what picture I was going to put up today. So.
And I remember so vividly when I was with you and Molokai and Jonathan and Ricky, two other National Geographic photographers, and we all have our big kid cameras and we're playing around with ours. And the three of you, it was just a joy to watch the joy that you had with your iPhones. And most people have phones that have cameras these days. And the quality of the cameras is quite good, isn't it?
The quality of cameras is astounding. and you know, people will write me and they'll say, you know, I'm thinking of doing the same thing you're doing. And they sort of asking me permission. And my answer is, yeah, God, the more the merrier. Put it out there. And people are. I mean, one of the astounding changes that's happened in the last couple of years is the amount of visual information that's changing, exchanging between people on sites like Facebook and SmugMug and, you know, all the others, where people who never could share pictures before and never thought to take pictures because they didn't have a camera with them are sharing them. And I think it's fantastic. And then the ability to tweak them and play with them and all the things you can do and to write about them. It's a whole new way of sharing mostly the joy. I mean, I look at what I see on Facebook, and there is some tragedy in it, but there's far more joy. People are saying, look at this, look at this, look at this, just like little kids. I think this very much to the good. And
so beautiful.
If they stop and take that the next step and
mm-hmm.
just not, oh, here's a picture, but to allow the experience to really resonate with them and to say, what did I learn from this? First, allowing themselves just to have it, just a simple experience of presence, and then to say, my God, am I lucky that I draw breath, that I got to see this, and then to share it. I think those little things, we're not going to say we're not talking about change the world, but in a sense they do. They start shifting our perspective toward what's right with the world.
You just said something that I think can be a real contribution to so many, because a lot of people think when you're taking pictures, it's about having the picture. And your perspective is a little different, you know, about the experience in the moment. Could you share a little bit about that? Because I think that, for me, validated me, liberated why I do and why I've had this love and passion of photography that everybody has access to now.
Yeah, I think that before you're a professional and somebody comes to you and says, I want this picture and I will pay you and you will take that picture, before that, and that's where 99% of us are, and basically in most of my photography, I'm a glorious amateur in my stuff I do with my iPhone. The experience is far more important than the photograph. Even if I get up and I go down to the beach or something and it's pouring and there are no pictures to be taken, I often find myself just saying, if I didn't have my cameras, I never would have gotten here. And when you take out the camera, you use it as a lens to look at the thing that's really exciting you and for a moment get rid of everything else and just delight in that thing where you separate the signal from the noise and you can see that beautiful thing, whatever it is, in front of the camera and have an experience with it. And we all have that ability to do with or without our cameras, but the camera is a great tool both for getting you there and then for allowing you to just hone in on something that's really exciting you. And then if you go the next step and allow yourself to actually have an experience with it, to actually kind of fall in love with it, to actually turn it from something ordinary to something extraordinary, that's a big moment in the day. And far more important to me than that, you know, you have a little print which you probably will do nothing with because now we can take so many pictures. So, you know, the next thing, if you're really motivated, is to just throw it on the net and share it to people. Say, look, isn't this cool? Just like a little kid, you know, dragging his mom out and saying, Mom, look at that flower. Is that awesome? I think that's great stuff. And it seems very simple, but I think it's very important both for us and in the act of sharing it.
That moment of, you know, what are we experiencing then? And I know you ask yourself, you know, four main questions or go through a four-step process when you're, you know, doing your photos that I think might be helpful for people to have a deeper sense of that experience. Could you share those? The four steps, the focus on the vision and train your technique, that kind of thing.
Yeah. With me, it's more three steps, but it's feeling, articulation, technology. It's you know, allowing yourself to have an experience. That, to me, is the most important thing. You just don't go out and say, God, there must be something beautiful here. I know what beauty is. It's a Baroque diagonal or it's an S-curve or something. That's not what you start. You start looking, showing up just in neutral without any kind of judgment and seeing what in the experience turns your head, what makes you say, wow, what makes you go, oh, that is so beautiful. And then that's your feeling. Now, if you really want to go the full way and take a picture of it, the first thing you have to say is, what am I responding to? That's the articulation part. And that's what people, amateur photographers, so often don't do. They just go, that's beautiful, and they point at it with, you know, with their camera and they shoot it. Maybe they get it and maybe they don't, but, you know, it's a three-dimensional, five-sensory experience they're having, and they're translating it into a two-dimensional, one-sensory experience in a small size, which is called a photograph. So they have to articulate that. And then when you articulate it, oh, it's the line, or it's the color, or it's the the angle, or it's the smile, or it's the moment, then you can use the techniques of the camera and the techniques of photography, in other words, the technology, to translate it onto film or to translate it into digital media. So it's feeling, allowing yourself to have the experience, which if you go no further is the most important part, articulating what that is, and then the technology to bring it into a good photo. So it's fat, not a big word in our society, but one that's easily rememberable.
So I just would love everyone to get a little sense of, you know, you're in a whole different world than most of us, but it is so available for all of us right now to have that. And there's a term you use of being, you know, open to the possibilities, things you never dreamed of, you know, multiple right answers. So I know that when you're shooting, there's a lot of questions you're living in that help you get to that next level. I think so many of us, you know, we go get something and then we're done and we move on. And I know that by being in your presence and Jonathan and Ricky, it was stay with it and keep asking.
Yeah, you know, we are taught in schools, and when they test us, they give us these little multiple choice tests, and they put down four or five answers, but only one of them is correct. And that's cool because it allows the teacher to find out if we learned what they were trying to teach us. But the unintended consequence is that we believe there's only one right answer. And if you go out and sit in nature for 10 minutes and just look around you, you can see multiple right answers to the question of how do we live on this planet. You know, thousands of life forms that have taken different paths and different answers. And if you start really thinking about it as a photographer, where you can shoot from this angle or that angle or this angle and come up with a fantastic picture, you realize that in life there's more than one right answer. There are thousands of answers. And we trap ourselves in our politics and the way we look at family sometimes and how we deal with our children into thinking there is one right answer and we have to find it. There's not. And the creative person knows that at a very deep, visceral level. And so, you know, you find a right answer, you say, well, that's cool, but what's another right answer? What's another right answer? What's another right answer? And it's a much more flexible, open way of looking at the world. And often it's the third or fourth or fifth right answer that you found that is really the astounding one. And so that's just a way I hit the world, again, from my photography and from a lot of time out in nature, of really believing that there's more than one right answer. And it translates all the way through my life when I get jammed up with something, of how to look at it, come at it from a different way, turn it around, flip it on its head, look at it this way, that way, the other way, until all of a sudden you go, oh, there it is. There's the next right answer. In fact, if I think about my life, it has not been about finding one right answer. It's been about continually finding the next right answer every day.
That's so beautiful. And for people that know you, DeWitt, they've heard many of your stories. I've heard many of them many times, and every time I hear even the same story, I get touched. And I know there's some people that are new to you and your stories, and you know, having that juice behind it all is really the fuel, so to speak. And would you be willing to share, you know, Adam's story with people?
Sure. Long time ago, I was teaching a course up in British Columbia, and as I went out to photograph, there was a young 5-year-old boy sitting on the steps of the place where we were staying, and he looked down at me, and I was covered with cameras, and he said, I have a camera. And he held up this camera, and it was yellow, and it had a blue lens, and it had a red eyepiece, a turquoise rewind with a little straw coming out of it. And he said, can I photograph with you? Well, I've never had a five-year-old ask me that before. And I said, sure. You know, we went down into the forest, and I took my picture. And then he was so cute. He squeezed up in front of the tripod and raised his little camera. And I said, did you get it? And he said, yeah. You know, I said, well, that's cool, but I'll lose this kid after a couple minutes. And not this boy. You know, he stayed right with me. Every time I set my camera up, there he'd be, pressed up against it. Sometimes he was concentrating so hard, I looked down, he had his hand over that little blue lens. And I said, Adam, that is not the way we do it. You know, that's the way I do it. I kid you not, you know. I mean, this kid had a vision. He was going after it. And then one time I looked in my bag and I had one lens I hadn't brought with me back at my cabin. I said, Adam, I'm going to have to go back and get another lens. And he looked up at me and with his voice of kind of zen compassion, he said, more stuff? You know, and I was dealing with Yoda, you know. It was, and I said, yeah, I want my stuff. So anyway, I got the lens, setting up the last shot of the day, and he's sitting in the grass watching, and I got everything piled on that tripod, all of my equipment, all of my technique, all of my technology. And finally he looks up at me and he says, does your camera have juice in it? I said, no. He said, mine does. Sucked on that little straw, you know. And literally, I went down to the little store and bought myself a little juice canteen like he had. I asked his mom where he got it because he had it. Does your camera have juice in it? You know, do you have that kind of connection? Do you have passion? Do you have energy that drives our technique and vision that steers that into the world? That's what makes the difference. So I, right on my desk in the other room, right by my computer, I have a little yellow juice camera. And it reminds me every day, does your camera have juice in it? You know, are you coming at the world with a full cup? Have you allowed yourself to fall in love with the world? Have you tapped into that source of gratitude and love that fills you up?
You know, that story continues to move me, and I have my juice camera right above my computer, and I've had it with me for, 16 years now, and it is such a great reminder. So I'd love people to know how to get on your Facebook page and get these daily photos and images you're sharing. So how do they do that, and how do they find out more about you?
Well, give you three sites. One of them is the fan page, which is facebook.com/DeWittJonesFanPage. They can also just search DeWitt Jones, but unfortunately I have the maximum number of people, so you can't get on that site. You can look at it, but you can't be my friend. But the DeWitt Jones fan page. So facebook.com/DeWittJonesFanPage. If you want to get the weekly posters that I send out, it's celebratewhatsright.com. All one word, celebratewhatsright.com. And if you just want to see some of the videos and talks that I give, it's DeWittJones.com. So those three sites, DeWittJones.com, celebratewhatsright.com, and facebook.com/DeWittJonesFanPage are all places where you can come and learn a little bit more about me and see what I'm doing every day.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I have another addition, which is go to YouTube and do a search on DeWitt Jones. And on there, because the last several days I've been having a blast watching the YouTubes on DeWitt online. And, you know, when I need a little boost or a little inspiration or to take me to a new place. So that's available also for everyone. And DeWitt's got several books out. He did a book with Stephen Covey. You've got all kinds of things. So there's many ways to tap into this juice, so to speak. So any other final comments, DeWitt?
Well, I can see my coffee is down. It's time to fill my own cup up. The light is beginning to come up. It looks like a glorious dawn here in Molokai. And so it's time to go out and take a few pictures.
Okay, and are you willing to stay with us for a few minutes for Q&A after we complete our...
Oh, sure, I'd be happy.
Okay, great. So at this time, we'll be completing our 30 minutes of wisdom. Gregory, do you have any comments?
Well, thank you, Robin. I just want to jump in and thank you. I feel like I vicariously know you because ever since I met Robin 10 years ago, she's been speaking about you and raving about your photography and philosophy. And with the previous company, I was the vice president of sales. She actually, at her recommendation, we bought your Celebrating What's Right in the World video, and we use it at our quarterly leadership training functions to get people on a forward focus. And it, every time I see it, the first time I saw it, I showed it to all my children. It's kind of part of our, you're vicariously kind of our family legacy. And I just want to thank you for being with us this morning and really encourage everyone to take this to heart. And as Robin says, check out the website, check out your YouTube, because, you've really help to shift people's focus into a positive direction. I just want to thank you for it.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. So this time we'll complete our recording. Next week we have another wonderful guest on 30 Minutes of Wisdom, the mix between Ram Dass and Haagen-Dazs. We've got, if you've never experienced Swami Beyondananda, you're in for another treat, and he'll be speaking on the transformational power of humor next Friday. And you can go to the website, enlightenednetworking.com, and if you go to the resource page, every interview we've had is up and available for everyone 24/7. This call will be available by phone for a week, and then it'll be up on the website, so you can share it with your friends and family and anyone else that you feel would be interested. And we appreciate, as our Enlightened Networking community is growing, and once again, DeWitt, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't even begin to share how deeply you've affected my world. So at this time, we'll complete our recording, and then we'll stand by for a minute and open up for some Q&A with DeWitt.